So the question of the day is, what do you do when it all goes rotten? My grandpa always used to say that phrase a lot. He'd point at a pile of potatoes that weren't stored very well, you know, and then he'd say, well, what's going to happen when it all goes rotten? He'd say it over and over again. But the question is here, in a spiritual sense, what do you do when it all goes rotten? There's a hymn that we sing once in a while called "The World is Very Evil." Maybe you recognize it. And I've never really liked that title, perhaps because it is so negative. But while it is negative, it's absolutely true, isn't it? The world is very evil. And since the fall of man, it always has been. It was so evil that God destroyed almost the entire human race with a flood. And even after that, the people rebelled again and tried to make a name for themselves. Through the centuries, empires have risen to power only to fall due to outside forces or inner corruption or both. Now what we see are curious architectural vestiges of the past of ancient empires. The world has had a history of warfare. Our nation is no exception, having fought in world wars, political struggles, and even facing terrorism here at home. Is it only a matter of time when our nation follows the pattern of other powers that have crumbled? Our nation does have a laundry list of sins, like abortion, prostitution, pornography, drug abuse, organized crime, political corruption, financial fraud, on and on. How many times have you heard somebody say, life was simpler in the good old days? Even in the last 5 years, there's been a lot of change. But going back a generation, I guess I'd have to say, yes, life seemed to be simpler a few years ago. There were things to worry about, certainly. Just fewer things that absolutely shocked you. There seemed to be more of a moral compass back then. And yet, it wasn't all good. As the Billy Joel song goes, the good old days weren't always good, and tomorrow ain't as bad as it seems. But it does seem to be going in a bad direction sometimes. This high school, Emmanuel Lutheran High School, actually started in Mankato, Minnesota, in this building on the edge of town on the prairie, we always called it. Well, that old building, I'm told, recently got remodeled and is now a Muslim mosque. My old high school is now a Muslim mosque. And we're not supposed to say anything negative about it. We're supposed to celebrate the diversity that it brings. 2 days ago, there was an election all over the country, several elections, and in Illinois, they voted to join the ranks of states that allow same-sex marriage. Again, we are to celebrate the diversity, the openness, the honesty, the progress. So what do? When it all goes rotten? Well, whatever you do, don't let it get you down. I mean, don't be consumed with the negative. Instead, God wants us to speak out against it and to praise Him in all things, and to know ultimately that He's in control. You know, God does not hate the evildoer, but He does certainly hate the evil. And He wants us to be the same way. He says, let those who love the Lord hate evil, for He guards the lives of His faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. In Proverbs, God spells it out pretty clearly. He hates a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. He doesn't want us to condone these behaviors. He does not want us to turn a blind eye. Instead, He does want us to speak out. That's why He calls us the salt of the earth. We are to be a preservative to counteract any deteriorating moral condition we may see. Praising God in all things sometimes is difficult for us. If we're in a rut, we might need a wake-up call. What do these two people have in common? Perhaps you've never heard of them, but Patty on your left is a Grammy Award-winning singer. She was on her way, 12 years ago, she was on her way to do a Michael Jackson tribute on the West Coast. And the guy on your right is one of the foremost chefs in New York City. Well, anyway, one day, Patty was supposed to get on a flight from Boston to San Fran about 12 years ago, but her mother had a stroke. So she didn't fly, and she didn't die on that flight that hit the North Tower. She knew that God, through hardship, saved her that day. And at the very moment that that plane was hitting the tower, Michael, instead of being on the 107th floor in his high-class restaurant, was instead down on the ground floor because his glasses had broken. He was down at a lens crafter's in the lobby getting his glasses repaired. And that 30-minute inconvenient delay probably saved his life. And there are all sorts of stories surrounding that event and real life of people just having subtle things happen to them that changes their lives forever. And how different would your life be if even one thing was changed in your life? What if you had a different set of parents or lived in a different country? Would you be the same person you are now? Would you be a Christian? It often happens that on simple, straightforward occurrences hang the major events of our lives. For example, in the Bible we have the story of Ruth. She was so hard up for food that she was eager to pick up what was left after the harvest. And by doing this, Ruth met Boaz. And they got married eventually and became grandparents of a young boy named David who would go on to be king. A happy hardship for Ruth. And how about Naaman, speaking of hardship? Naaman, who didn't even know about the God of Israel, and perhaps never would have, if he hadn't been afflicted with leprosy, and a little slave girl knew the solution for him. See if you can figure out what God has in mind for you the next time you have a setback or a hardship. And finally, always know that He's in control. He's in control of the big things and the little subtleties of everyday life. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of His hands. Isaac Newton saw that. One of the most famous scientists ever said, "This beautiful system of the sun, planets, and comets could only proceed from the counsel and dominion of an intelligent and powerful being. This being governs all things, not as the soul of the world, but as Lord over all." He also confessed, "I have a fundamental belief in the Bible as the Word of God, written by men who were inspired. I study the Bible daily." Newton looked at the world as one that had been the purposeful creation of a wise, organized, loving, all-powerful being. And so did another scientist named Carl Linnaeus, who noticed one day that bees pollinate flowers when they sip the nectar. And Linnaeus didn't think that this was just by chance. He saw the controlling hand of an amazing God. And so he always looked at nature trying to find the organization of a loving God. I think if these guys were around today, they would laugh at how much money is funneled toward global warming special interest groups, for example. I think they would say that the phrase man-made climate change is just a made-up phrase, a phrase made up by those who think that man is in control. But the God who rescued 2 million people one day by parting the Red Sea and saved one solitary man by providing ravens with bread, that God is still here with us today, guiding and blessing us with the major things and with the subtle things. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Amen. We sing of this with the words on the screen.